Sean Patrick Maloney, I'm so delighted that you're with us today. I want to talk to you about a couple of things. First of all, I know that you've been working very hard to extend coverage for 200,000 New Yorkers scheduled to lose health insurance in December because Health Republic said it was shutting down. That's an insurance company. Does this raise larger questions about the Affordable Care Act?
Yes, it does. But the most important questions it raises are we going to take care of these people who are going to have a coverage gap? I want to applaud the governor for being very quick off the dime on this so people understand what we're talking about. Usually if you lose an insurer, you can wind them down at the end of the year so that it's coterminous with people's coverage and they can get new coverage in October, effective January 1, and that minimizes the disruption. Health Republic, for reasons we need to investigate, has had a sudden stop and has had to be shut down right now. And that means that there were 200,000 people who were at risk of having a one-month gap in December of not having coverage. But what, because of the governor's action, what has happened is those folks will be covered by other insurers. They will get credit for their deductibles. Those of us on the federal level have been very clear that they should not be penalized under any sort of Obamacare penalties or anything else, particularly the employers who will be affected by this. There are issues about whether people can continue to get the treatment they need in the place they want it, so there's disruption here. But the worst effects of this, I believe, have been addressed by the governor. Now, that doesn't stop the questions we need to ask about what's going on with this co-op system, why didn't we know sooner about Health Republic's financial situation, were they misstating their financial condition, which is why I want a full investigation of this, because there needs to be accountability.
I want to go to a different place. I know that you have a plan, new legislation for first-time home buyers, but didn't we get into a lot of trouble? Trying to get everybody into a house when they couldn't afford one?
Yeah. Well, look. Thank you for letting me talk about this. It's something I believe very strongly in. The problem we had with the housing crisis is that people were borrowing too much for houses they couldn't afford, and the underlying values were inflated. But we shouldn't confuse that with the extraordinary opportunity that people have to build wealth over time if they buy a house the right way. We know that the largest single wealth-creating decision any middle-class family can make is to buy their own house. The capital appreciation is what creates most middle-class wealth. And we have a rental crisis in America right now where a lot of our citizens are paying more than 50% of their income on rent, which gets them nowhere. And this means kids can't ever save, they can't ever build any equity or any wealth. And we know the statistics are overwhelmingly persuasive that if you rent your whole life versus own your own home, you know, the amount of wealth you create is enormously better if you're a homeowner. So what we are saying is there is this device already called an IRA. You are allowed under current law to take out $10,000 without penalty for the purchase of a first home. We just want to raise that to $25,000. Let me tell you what that means. If a young family starting out, a husband and wife in their early 20s, start saving $100 a month total, and they can work that up to about $300 a month over about 10 or 12 years, then in their mid-30s, they will have saved about $30,000. And if you can therefore take $25,000 without penalty and reallocate that savings from your IRA to the equity in a home, and you buy a house that you can afford and you do it responsibly and you make good decisions, then this will really help. And if it gets young people saving in IRAs sooner, that's very important, because if they just can save for retirement, you know, that can seem like a very long way away for a person in their 20s. But everybody who's starting a family starts to think about buying a house, I think. And so this encourages saving. Look, it's people's own money, right? We're just saying you can allocate it from your IRA to the equity in a home. But it doesn't mean people shouldn't make good decisions about what house they can afford and how much debt they take. But if they put down a big down payment, we know they are much less likely to default.
So the presidential sweepstakes. If you were sitting here right now and being a pundit, who would you say we're going to see on both the Republican and Democrat sides?
Well, I think it's very clear that Secretary Clinton is in a commanding position on the Democratic side. I think she deserves to be. You know, I'm biased. You know, I came out of the Clinton White House. I think they've got a pretty good formula for growing this economy, for including everybody, bringing everybody along. if you look on the Republican side, you know, I don't know, you know, throw a dart at the dartboard. And I, you know, what I can tell you is I'm very alarmed. As someone who, you know, as you know, works across the aisle, who does a lot of bipartisan work, I'm very alarmed at some of the extreme rhetoric I've heard from the leading candidates on the Republican side. I think the stuff that Donald Trump has been saying, stuff that Ben Carson's been saying, I mean, these guys are just shooting their mouths off about things that are demonstrably false. If I were in the Republican Party, that would concern me a lot. I think I think nominating one of those guys is a great way to get beat up pretty good come the fall of 2016. But there are some good candidates over there. I'll let them sort that out. My guess is it'll end up being a real race.
So I can understand a lot. I talk about this a lot. I think about it a lot. But I can't understand Ben Carson. Can you? I mean,
nope,
why is he so popular in that part? I just don't get that.
Look, I think there's a percentage of that electorate that is very impressed with his religious faith and his life story, and there's nothing wrong with that. I do not understand, however, why they see in him someone who is qualified to be president of the United States. I have no doubt that he is a world-class pediatric neurosurgeon. I just don't think he knows the first thing about what he's talking about when it comes to most other domestic policy issues, and he is lost when it comes to foreign policy issues. So I think you're seeing him. I think you're seeing him fade in the polls over there, and it's because he just doesn't have the full constellation of experience and knowledge that you need to be president.
So recently, Donald Trump announced that he—and we only have a minute—but he announced that he might be forced to run on a third-party ticket. I take it when you're saying your prayers at night down by the side of your bed, you're praying that that comes true?
Sometimes I just pray to baby Jesus if we can just have Donald Trump split the ticket. Look, you know, I think that would be a great way to elect Hillary Clinton president. But, you know, second best would be nominating him as their nominee. I mean, this guy has said so many ridiculous things. He has so alienated large segments of the American population. It's hard to see how he ever gets it right. I understand he's a showman. I understand he just keeps saying crazy stuff so long that people think maybe there's something to it. I think Hillary Clinton would take him apart come the fall, and not because I'm biased, but because they would not be putting on the field their best candidate. They have other candidates with much broader appeal. But right now in that Republican primary process, I mean, it is a clown car, and out pops all kinds of crazy things.
Sean Patrick,
so who knows what they're going to do?
Sean Patrick Maloney, terrific. You're always engaging, and we appreciate it so much. We'll catch you in the next round. Thanks so much.
That was my pleasure, Alan. Thank you.
That's great, Sean.